All right, a lot of parents out there have had a rough go of it. Either they're working from home or they're doing the e-learning or they're doing both. Oh, and they're also doing all the other things that parents have to do. My sympathies are with all of you and also with our next guest who's going to help us out a little bit. Dr. Judith Allen is an education and mental health expert from the Nonprofit Communities in Schools of Chicago. Dr. Allen, thanks for joining us this evening.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me.
A long day for you, too. You're in this struggle.
I am right alongside everybody else. And even though I have an older child who is just turned 21 on Monday, so this was not where he chose to celebrate his 21st birthday, but that's where we are.
Oh, he's living with you now.
Well, he just got back from Texas A&M. He came up a couple weeks ago and campus closed. So
what's that like with a 21-year-old? I mean, they're obviously an adult and they have their own freedoms, but you're stuck in the same place together.
Right. You know what? But it's always about perception. So there's a perception that he's an adult, and we're going to continue to work on that. So it is really about trying to determine if he's my roommate or if I see him as that 10-year-old boy.
Oh, that's interesting, though. I'm sure that there'll be some interesting ups and downs along the way, and it'll bring you two closer together, I'm sure.
We hope and pray, yes.
You're both doing it together. He's sitting there, too, like, yeah, I hope so, too. All right, well, Dr. Allen, I imagine you could sympathize with parents out there. First of all, before we jump into tips and all that, tell us a little bit about Communities in Schools of Chicago.
Wonderful, yes. Communities in Schools of Chicago, we've been around for about 32 years, and we are an educational support program, a nonprofit. We work in partnership with Chicago Public Schools, and we actually have staff that are staffed on 31 school sites, and then we have formal partnerships with about 144 other school sites where we provide everything from academic support to social service needs to social-emotional learning. It's everything above and beyond what the teachers can do. So we free the teachers to do their jobs, which is teach, and we try to mitigate all the other things that swirl around a child's life. And this is K through 12.
And this is probably pretty apt in these times we live in right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that we're finding is that kids are pretty well isolated right now because they don't have their social networks at school. So the ecosystem has completely changed. So now they're at home with parents, grandparents, and the entire family. So the dynamics are going to change with how they learn and what some of their needs are. And that's where we continue to support them through some telesupport programs that we have.
I imagine you're saying to parents out there, look, yeah, this is hard, but try and give yourself a little pat on the back, give yourself a little break, and don't make this harder than it has to be.
Absolutely. And that's one of the first things that we have on our list of, you know, sort of recommendations is use the tools that are provided. If the school is giving packets and educational websites, this is not the time to start thinking, well, gosh, how hard can it be? I always thought I could be a teacher.
Okay.
No, that's not the time to do that. So, and we really want to build that student schedule around your schedule as the adult, especially if you're working from home.
Dr. Allen, I was just talking earlier about how I missed those overhead projectors and I wanted to buy one. So what you're saying is now is not the time to design an overhead projection lesson that I've been thinking of for years and years.
No. And you know, don't go out buying some of that chalkboard paint that you can paint a whole wall and have the kids start to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, those projections were horrible. Burned off a lot of eyebrows. I remember those days.
What about the space in which you're doing some of this? Should it be separate from where some other things happen? I know that everyone has their limitations in their home, their condo, their apartment. How do you create a good space for people?
Right. You know what? This is that one chance where you can be a bit creative. We like to use a term to create that zone defense for yourself. And even if you want to kind of go back to WKRP in Cincinnati with Les taping off that imaginary office space that he had.
Yes.
But if your child wants to work under the dining room table and he's getting it done, that's okay. You know, because that's really not a time for you to begin to worry about what the concept or the feng shui is of your home.
Right.
This is really where you want to make sure the kids have a safe space where they got plenty of supplies, plenty of lighting, and they also have extra work to do. So in case they get done early, they don't need to come bugging you asking you what to do next.
I used to love having like my own little office. I'd have a desk, and even in my own bedroom, which wasn't all that big, I liked having like a separate corner that was like the workspace of it. I don't know if it was just a kid trying to pretend to be an adult, but I guess embrace that.
Right, absolutely. And even if you want, once a week, have staff meetings where everybody comes together and talks about what they've done, where they need to be, take a look at the refrigerator list, what are some of the things that we've crossed off, and you can use that with any age group of child that you have.
I imagine when the kid's underneath the dining table and you're looking down there, you're like, oh, let's drag them out of there. But at some point, you got to go, is this one worth fighting?
Right. It is about choosing your battles. We're in this for what looks like a little bit of a longer haul than we first expected. So we're going to learn a lot of things about our families, about our spouses, about all kinds of things. Because, you know, just like kids, we have our work self and we have our home self. Kids are the same way. So we're going to have to kind of determine what is it that we can kind of be a little bit more flexible on and what are some non-negotiables.
I think what's incredible about this is parents are learning pretty quickly just how valuable teachers are. And I think most parents appreciate their kids' teachers 100%. But just how hard it is to do their jobs, and imagine it with 20 kids or 25 or 30 instead of just one or two or three. But one thing I imagine is this didn't quite work. What's plan B? What's plan C? When teachers develop their curriculum for the day, especially experienced ones, they know where they can pivot. Parents don't, but they should start to think about it.
Absolutely. Basically, it's about planning. What is the phrase? Strategy without tactics is just the slow route to victory. So you've got to have your strategy and your tactics in place. You've got to have a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. You've got to have your rainy day plan, so when you can't go and walk around the block. And you also have to kind of determine, based on the age of the child, what they can do on their own. So if you're working with, let's say, a kindergartner and they're done with their project or their worksheets, what can you then give them to do next, right? As opposed to your older children that will want to basically self-soothe and mediate themselves, and then what they can do on their own. But yes, having those plans is really important.
What do you say to the parents that are ready to give up right now?
You can't.
Not allowed.
No, that's one of the non-negotiables. You can't. There is no detention. There's no out-of-school suspension. This is it.
Yeah, but I feel like they're like, well, you know, like one day, you know, let's forget this. Let them do their own thing. But I imagine these routines are really important for the kids to keep up.
Absolutely. And, you know, kids thrive on structure. They thrive on having something to do. That's why they have bells at the schools. It almost becomes Pavlovian, where they hear the bell, they know they have to get up and move to the next spot. So if you want, even create, like, turn on the microwave alarm after, like, 90 minutes. They move on to the next course. That we try to keep that same sense of structure. But for parents who are ready to give up, call a friend. I mean, we all have friends that are in the same position that we're in. Call a friend, create your own support network where you can, you know, hide in the closet and just talk about your struggle, because that's what's really going to get you through this, is working with each other.
What about parents that are also working from home and the day isn't quite set aside as much as like a school day would be? How do you manage that?
Right, and that's where we said that we kind of want to build our student schedules around your schedule. So if you know you have a conference call at 9, 11, 1, and 4, then that's when you're going to make sure that you've got it mapped out on a big piece of butcher paper or cardboard paper, whatever. You're going to map out at 1 o'clock this, at 2 o'clock this, so they have a structure that they can follow. But then, you know what, at the end of the day, create a reward system for them where you'll sit and you guys can have a picnic on the living room floor, or they get to help you cook. Give them something to be thankful for the fact that they let you get through those meetings and all through the day. It's also a little different, too. When we're working from home, we figure, okay, it's 5 o'clock. Typically, I'm on the train heading home. But I'm here. I'm still in my pajamas. I can finish this project. We have to really set those limitations for ourselves as well. So if it's 5 o'clock or 5:15 that we're wrapping up our day, make sure we try to stick to that, because we've got other people that are expecting us in the kitchen or someplace else in the household. So we want to keep that structure for ourselves, too.
It sounds like an extra half hour of planning is going to save you a little bit of stress the next day.
That's why teachers have planning periods.
Yes.
So this is a great time for us to, you know, take a beat on Sunday night and plan out what the week's going to look like. You know, not too much structure. Leave yourself some room for flexibility, because, you know, we don't want to be so stiff that we break. We want to make sure that we're able to bend. But yeah, creating the structure is important as far in advance as possible.
You got to give yourself a break, though, right? And I don't even mean like a time of break, but just like, this is hard. It's not easy. You're not going to be perfect. Don't strive to be perfect.
Yes, practice patience, you know, not just with your kids, but with yourself. Like we said earlier, you're going to learn a lot about yourself as a parent. And where you thought you had strengths, you may have to shore up on some of those. I can guarantee there's going to be a lot of parents Googling, you know, how do I deal with my child, fill in the blank. We're going to have to learn that we're going to have to be very forgiving of ourselves as well.
Do you guys have online resources yourselves? You mentioned Googling. Maybe you could save some of the work. Are there places people can go with what you guys do to help reach people quickly?
Absolutely. You can take a look at our website, which is cisofchicago.org, or take a look at our Facebook page, which is CIS Chicago on Facebook. We also have an Instagram page where we have tips and tricks throughout the week, and we're always available to help.
It says that you serve over 75,000 CPS students, ensuring that they graduate. You know, I know you're not necessarily the person that does all the PR necessarily, but I mean, imagine the stats are overwhelming that kids that get a little extra help to help fill in the gap, the graduation rates must be extremely higher than the mean.
There are. Our graduation rates are over 90%. And these are children that the expectation that they're going to graduate because they have all of these challenges and these barriers ahead of them, it's amazing. It's amazing the work that they put into it, that our staff puts into it. And again, it's just to make sure they have everything they need so that they have a fighting chance to get from K through 12 and then graduate and become successful.
Dr. Allen, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciated being on here, John.
And by the way, your story is like a sitcom waiting to happen. So please let us know what happens when the 21-year-old moves back in. Like, that is just, that's a weird age for someone to be back. I moved back in with my parents for a brief time when I was like 26, but it wasn't a quarantine time. I could still
exactly.
Leave the house, and I was a little bit older. I had worked a job. They were just kind of helping me out pay some rent for a little bit. But man, he's got the freedoms of college that he's got under his belt
and
now.
And 21. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Are you guys having maybe you're having some bonding over, I don't know, a beer or two or wine? I don't know. I'm not trying to dive too much into your world,
But here's the irony is that he's actually a cadet at Texas A&M, and he'll be graduating and going into subservice with the Navy.
Oh.
So for him, he's basically telling me that he's practicing for subservice, and that's why he stays in his room and doesn't need to talk to me. Okay. All right.
Well, that's somewhat true, right? You got to get used to these really small, confined spaces. But he needs to come out and talk to Mom. While he can. Come on.
Yes, he does. And I hope he hears this, which I'm sure he's not.
Well, just yell a little bit louder. I'm sure he can. We're all in small quarters. All right, Dr. Allen, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much, John.
I love talking to experts who are also living what they're doing. Dr. Allen isn't just buried in a book and telling you how to live your life. She's gone through it herself and has a 21-year-old back at home. Ooh.